الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم. Honorable, respectable elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, we know and we are living through a difficult time whereby our brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through difficulty, and innocent young children and innocent mothers and fathers are becoming martyrs. And we see this, and we know this. And at these times, it's important that we reflect and we have concern. And we ponder and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to begin with today, just to give some context, that why is it that we are so concerned about Palestine, about Jerusalem, Al-Quds, Gaza? Why are we so worried, and why have we a special affinity and connection to this place? Right? So first and foremost, in terms of where Palestine, Gaza, Jerusalem is situated, it's in a place which is known historically as Ash-Sham, or Sham, which translates loosely as the Levant. And it comprises of modern-day Jordan, Syria, certain parts of northeastern Saudi Arabia, the Sinai, and Palestine. So all of this area is known as Sham. And our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the significance of this place in one narration. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina وَفِي يَمَنِنَا, that, O Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua for Sham and said, O Allah, bless our Sham. And it's a very personal dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it, Shamina, that our Sham. وَفِي يَمَنِنَا, and our Yemen. And Sham was probably one of the areas where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited in his childhood with his uncle on one of the business trips. So he had seen Sham. And then someone in the gathering said that, وَفِي نَجْدِنَا, what about our Najd? Najd is an area which is to the east of Mecca and Medina, modern day Riyadh. And there's other opinions in terms of further into Baghdad, and that area is called Najd. But wa fi Najdina, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again made the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina, that, O Allah, bless our Sham, wa fi Yamanina, and our Yaman. And then the individual who was in the gathering said, wa fi Najdina, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hunaka zalazil wal fitan, that there will be earthquakes and fitan, trials and tribulations. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never made dua for Najd, but he made dua for Sham. And then in another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the people of Sham as saying that Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala reports that Safwatullahi min ardihi Ash-Sham, that the chosen land, or the chosen land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Sham. وَفِيهَا صَفْوَتُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ وَعِبَادِهِ, and in it are the chosen ones of his servants and his creation. So the individuals that are residing in Sham are also very blessed individuals, as per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person goes to Sham, or goes to Palestine, or those that have been to Damascus, or these areas, they speak of a special serenity in these places. When they went years ago, when you were able to go, they speak of a special serenity and tranquility in these places, a special light in these places. One person was mentioning that there is a special light in Damascus, in terms of the scholars that are there, in terms of, or that were there before. So this is a very blessed place. And then more specifically, Masjid al-Aqsa has its own special virtues, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. First and foremost, we know that the first Qibla of the Muslims was Masjid al-Aqsa. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood afterwards, he stayed in Medina, Makkah, Mukarrama, and before he migrated, and even after he migrated for around 6 months, the Qibla was Masjid al-Aqsa. So this is the first Qibla, and we know of Masjid al-Qiblatain, whereby the Qibla was changed to the Kaaba, Makkatul Mukarrama, the Kaaba. So, and this is now Masjid al-Qiblatain, when we are able to go to Medina Munawwara and we go to Ziyarat and we see Masjid al-Qiblatain. And in terms of the special significance of Masjid al-Aqsa, Abu Dharr radiyallahu ta'ala says that, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أَيُّ مَسْجِدٍ وُضِعَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوَّلٍ, that which masjid was made first on the earth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, المسجد الحرام. قال قلت ثم أي. And he says that I said, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says that, then I said, which one? He said, المسجد الأقصى. He said that مسجد الأقصى, which is in Jerusalem. قلت كم كان بينهما, how much difference in time is there between both? He said, 40 سنة, 40 years. So this has a special significance. Auf ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates that أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك وهو في قبة من أدم فقال عُدُد سِتًا بين يدي الساعة, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Khaybar was in a tent made out of leather. And Auf ibn Malik says, I came and I said that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that, count 6 things before Qiyamah. Mawti, my demise, the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a sign that Qiyamah is now to come. And then the second thing was, ثُمَّ فَتْحُ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ, then the taking over of Baytul Maqdis. And we know that this happened in the era of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, without any fighting. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the keys to Baytul Maqdis by the priest who resided in Jerusalem in peace, and he gave the keys and Baytul Maqdis came into the hands of the Muslims at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this was foretold to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala being the narrator that لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد, that no one should make a journey except for 3 masajid. So you know, some people go to Abu Dhabi, some people go to the Cambridge Mosque, the masjid in Cambridge, and various other places. There's no real significance in terms of going there thinking that a person's going to get extra reward in that sense. A person goes to see the masjid, that's one thing, but in terms of going there specifically that this masjid may be more reward. There's 3 places where there is more reward that is mentioned in the narrations. One is Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama. One is Masjid al-Nabi, Masjid al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third being Masjid al-Aqsa, the Masjid al-Aqsa. And in terms of reward, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu being the narrator, that a person who performs salah in Masjid al-Haram receives 100,000, the reward of 100,000 salah. And a person who performs salah in Masjid al-Nabawi receives 1,000 salah reward. And a person who performs salah in Baytul Maqdis, in Masjid al-Aqsa, receives 500 times the reward. So a person can understand in terms of the reward, the multiplication of the reward for a person who performs salah in these blessed places. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ, that Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is a place which we have blessed, around this area we have blessed. And when a person goes and you see the size of the pomegranates and the fruit and how nice it is and the olives and all of those things, you can see this, the manifestation of this verse before your eyes. The olive trees, the olive oil, the dates, the majul dates that we get, all of this is around Masjid al-Aqsa, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that. It's a place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam migrated from Babylon, and then his progeny, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and then further down, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, all resided in this place, this blessed place. So we know that this is, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, in one narration, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned that Lamma faragha Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhi salam min bina'i bayt al-Maqdis, سأل الله عز وجل ثلاثا. That Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he completed making Baytul Maqdis, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 3 things. أن يؤتيه حكما يصادف حكمه, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the ability to make judgments that are in line with the judgments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then وملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعده, and a kingdom which nobody else gets, which is not the like of anybody else's kingdom. And the third thing, وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدَ أَحَدٌ
لا يريد إلا الصلاة فيه إلا خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه.
That a person comes to this masjid, meaning Masjid al-Aqsa, Bayt al-Maqdis, and he only has the intention to perform salah here, except that he will leave in a state that the way that he was, that his mother gave birth to him, meaning that all of his sins will be forgiven. So Rasulullah ﷺ said that أَمَّ اثْنَتَيْنَ فَقَدْ أُعْتِيَهُمَا. Two things, they were given to him. He was given the ability to make judgment, and we know of the stories that are mentioned in the Quran. And then also, we know that his kingdom was huge, and he had the ability to, even with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, control the jinn and the other animals. So we know two things he received. And the third thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَرْجُوا أَن يَقُونَ قَدْ أُعْتِيَ الثَّالِثَ. That the third thing, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that as well. So a person who goes to Masjid al-Aqsa with the intention that I want to perform salah here, or I am going to perform salah there for the multiplication in reward, we are hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua of who? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. So this is why this area holds special significance for us as Muslims. And it's very important to understand this. Sometimes we think, oh, it's based on the fact that there are innocent civilians that are, you know, being martyred, and and this is true. But it's on different levels in terms of why are we worried about this place, why are we worried, and why do we have concern for this area? Number one, because of this special connection that we have, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us, and that we understand from the ahadith and the Quran and the Sunnah. Secondly, also the fact that the individuals that are residing there, that are being oppressed, are our Muslim brothers and sisters. They share the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And thirdly, on a human level as well, as human beings, we care for our fellow human beings. We care for the safety and the security of our fellow human beings. So in terms of this whole situation, there is the whole political side, there is the whole, all of these things that are there that we can speak about, and at length we can speak about. And there is a whole narrative, and we know and we understand this. But at this moment in time, me and you being individuals and understanding our position as individuals who are living in the UK, okay, and we have a certain level of influence and a certain level of concern, what can we do? We have two circles. One is the circle of influence, what influence we can make. And then we have a certain level of an outer circle, which is the circle of concern. And my concern is obviously the whole ummah, whole of humanity. How can every single person become someone who is believing in Allah and His Messenger? But at the same time, the circle of influence that we have, we need to understand that we live between these lines. So sometimes we become involved in conversation and discussion whereby it's a concern for us, but we have no influence. And to speak about it to a certain level, okay, we understand, we need to speak about these things. But the amount of influence that we have is almost zero or nil. It's negligible or completely zero. So we are wasting our time to a certain degree that we are discussing these things. So what we need to understand is that my level of influence that I have upon myself, upon my family, maybe further afield, upon my work colleagues, and what can I do to positively contribute to this situation, so that when I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least I can say that, ya Allah, I tried. I made an effort to help my brothers and sisters and to help humanity. Because we want to help the oppressed and the oppressor. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the oppressor. Because we want the oppressor to become mu'min as well. We want the oppressor to become a believer as well and understand their responsibility and look at it through the moral compass that we've been given, which is the Shariat and the Quran and the Sunnah. So in terms of the first thing is that we have to understand and value our iman. But the iman that we have, without this iman, we wouldn't survive. And when we look around us today, to truly appreciate this iman, we see that the world is confused. A person can't tell you what a woman is, what a man is. They don't know, they can't define. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen, has given us the Quran, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has defined that for us. Has defined that for us, and connected to that, we may not, Islam or believe, the mu'mineen, those that have iman, may not be the most in terms of the quantity, but definitely in terms of religiosity, in terms of actually worshipping, actually practicing the deen, we will probably, we will be the highest. And this is a
an amazing thing that we need to have hope for, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen that we can practice on a daily basis. That on a 24/7 basis, 365 days of the year, we are Muslims and we are mu'min, and we have a complete way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. How much of a ni'mah is this? Alhamdulillah, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this iman that He has given us, the value of which we don't truly understand. So, you know, these situations should strengthen us in our faith. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prophesied some of these incidents, has told us about these incidents, has told us about the fitan that are going to come, the tests and tribulations that are going to come on this ummah. So it should give us hope and it should strengthen our iman. And we should try to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Because that's what's going to help us, right? That's the influence that we have on ourselves and our family. Let's increase our ibadah. Let's increase our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one thing, right? And the second is sabr. Now sabr, generally we think sabr is patience. So, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sabiru. Oh, you who have believed, have patience. Wasabiru. Compete in one another in patience or enjoin patience. So in terms of the three levels of sabr, right? Sabr ala al-ita'ah, that a person is patient when he is being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this takes a certain level of forbearance, a certain level of patience. Why? Because to be always obedient is difficult. To be always, we have the nafs, we have the shaitan, we have our ego, our inner self, we have the shaitan, whispering into us, telling us not to perform salah, not to wake up for fajr, not to read Quran. So we are being patient and we are persevering to make sure that we are obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then sabr against sin, that we protect ourselves from sin. So when a person wants to commit a sin, he perseveres to not commit that sin. It's also patience. Another level of patience, which can sometimes be more difficult. It can be, it's a hard task to be patient when a person wants to commit that sin. And then sabr when there's distress, that we are happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, when we see the news coming from our brothers and sisters and their plight in Palestine, you see that they have the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the quality of the sabr, that they are saying hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. It's a testimony of their faith. And you know, when you go there, you know, when you go to Masjid Al-Aqsa, the West Bank, and you experience what they experience on a daily basis. I have a friend in the West Bank, he's a teacher. And for him to come to Masjid Al-Aqsa on a daily basis, whether it's for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib or Isha, he has to go through checkpoints. And it just depends in terms of who's at the checkpoint. They could search his car, they could search him. But he still comes to Masjid Al-Aqsa. And since the day that I met him, in 2018 or 2017, he sends me a message every single day, roughly around 2 a.m. in the morning, with different dua. Read this dua, read this dua. And you think, subhanallah, this person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where their time, I think it's Fajr time or just before Fajr time. And he sends me a little post. Either it says, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, or some other dua, or some message which is connected to deen. So when I wake up in the morning, and when his message is normally at the bottom, if there's any messages that have come after, but his message is definitely there. And that's from the day that I met him. And these people, they have this level of sabr at the time of distress. A person has lost not 1, 2, 7, 8, 9, 20 members of their family overnight, from a small child to their spouse, and they are saying hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that these are the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see that, right? And at the moment we don't have direct experience of the distress that they're going through. We see it and we see the images and it brings tears to our eyes. But what are we doing with those tears? Where are we spending those tears as such? So is it making us stronger in our iman? Is it making us more patient in terms of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, persevering and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, persevering and staying away from sin? Now we sat here today, Saturday. Are we going to go home and do something which is going to be the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this? And we're just sitting here because we need to sit here and it's a talk in the masjid. Or is it going to bring some change within our life? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَابِطُوا. Ribat
Ribat has a couple of meanings in the sense, one being that when there is the Muslim lands, then to safeguard and protect the borders of the Muslims, Ribat, that spending one night in Ribat, meaning, you know, looking after the border of the Muslims when there is an Islamic country and Islamic khilafah as such, is better than whatever the world contains, right? كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. And at the same time though, protection of, this is the geographical aspect of Ribat, but also the ideological aspect of Ribat is there, in the sense that a person protects the teachings of Islam. The person protects the honor of the Muslims, in the sense that if something is happening and the Muslims are being humiliated or the Muslims are being oppressed, then we speak out wherever we can. So in our country, in our context, if we can write to our MP, if we can amplify the voice on certain social media, so the reality comes forward, this can also be potentially classed as ribat. And there's another meaning of ribat in the sense that a person is waiting for salah. This has all been classed as ribat in the ahadith, whereby Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that isbaghul wudu' ala al-makari, despite it being difficult, a person does wudu properly. Wa kathratul khata' ila al-masjid, a person excessively walks to the masjid. Wa intidharul salati ba'da salah, waiting for one salah after another salah. Fadhalikum al-ribat, all of that is ribat, that a person is on guard. So we have this responsibility that to change it. There's a certain narrative, a prevalent narrative within the community. And sometimes, I had a friend of mine who was telling me that he was at work, a 20 or so year old youngster comes to him and says, what's happening right now is really bad, right? And the way he explained it was basically the same narrative that is being given by the mainstream media in terms of the BBCs and the Sky News, the CNNs and the Times and all of this. So he had a conversation with him and said that, have you not seen this other side that's there, available? And then he thought about it and said, that's true. But it's only when a person goes there and he sees that the situation of the Muslims and the Palestinians in this situation in the West Bank, as I've been, and we see it, that you understand how they're living and how much sabr and patience they have to do on distress. So there's a masjid called in Hebron called Masjid al-Khalil, where they say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ghaliban, the wife of Ishaq alayhi salam, is also buried. And there was an incident there where a person came in, and the Muslims were in Ghaliban in Ramadan, and they came in with a gun, and he martyred all of the individuals that were performing salah. So to get to that masjid, some people, they have to go from their house, go into a checkpoint, and come to that masjid to perform salah. And we saw it, and there's a certain area where nobody can go, and if you walk into that area, you'll be shot. And the whole area is deserted since that time. So the tour guide was telling us that this is the place, this is how it is, this is how the situation is. And wallahi, in terms of when you are there, you think, how would I stay here? How would I even spend half a day in this place? But they are staying there, why? Why are they staying there? They are staying there because they know that Masjid al-Aqsa has a special significance. It's the third haram for the Muslims. And they know if they go, then there will be no longer an opportunity for the Muslims to go there. In the old city of Jerusalem, there were at least two, three individuals that mentioned this. The individuals that reside there, they have a small house, the size of maybe up until that pillar, here, small house in the old city of Jerusalem. And they have been offered a blank check. And it's been said to them that you write how much money you want for this house, we'll buy it from you. And not only that, we'll relocate you to the west. Wherever you want to go, whichever country you want to go, we'll relocate you there with the money. But the steadfastness of these individuals is such that they say, no, no, no. We don't want to give it. We can't give it. Take your check. We don't want it. And this is in the old city of Jerusalem. And you see those individuals, one person whose house was right opposite the Buraq wall, also known as the Wailing Wall. And that house has a prime position. And he was saying that at night, the individuals that are at the Wailing Wall, they do like loud music and all of the, and he can't sleep. And he's been offered millions and millions of dollars. But no, they want to stay there. Sabr in distress. Despite it being difficult, they are persevering, they are staying. Why? Because they know of the significance of this place.
They know the significance. This is the place where all the Anbiya, alayhimu salatu wa salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, led them in salah. So what we're talking about, in terms of what we need to, and the reason I make that correlation or that example and I mention that, is because we need to realize, right, that being patient in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst we have food, whilst we have clothes, whilst we have a family, whilst we don't have any worry or concern, is much easier than the things that they're going through. It's much easier. But can we not even do that? Can we not really think and, you know, help them by helping ourselves? The reality is we help ourselves, but we'll be helping them. Because then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. So it's something for us to ponder, right? It's something for us to think about. That how can we influence the situation as such in our own little way? And ultimately, by helping ourselves, we'll be helping them. And then, in terms of being humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came to the Sahaba at the time of the Battle of Badr, and they were humble. And we need to understand this, that just because we are in goodness and we are doing well, we are, doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us. We need to be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have wronged, we need your help, we need your assistance. Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, when he went into the belly of the whale, what did he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He was humble, complete humility. And we hear our akabirin mentioning as well that doing istighfar, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, Damat Barakatuh and others, they mentioned that doing istighfar and abundantly doing istighfar at this moment in time is the need. We don't understand the power of istighfar, of dua. We live in a world where we look at the means. We want to protest. We want to write a letter to the MP. All of that is within its place, as long as it's done within the confines of Shariat and within the commands of Shariat. That needs to happen, yes. But at the same time, we need to understand that turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being humble, showing humility, acknowledging of our sins, being acknowledging of the wrong that we've done, we need to show that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings me on to the fact that in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That you want to be successful, if you meet the group that is the enemy, stay steadfast. And what's the next part? وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. We feel down, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Remember Him, speak to Him. We feel like we can't be patient on being obedient, ask Allah ta'ala for help. Ask Allah ta'ala to assist us. Ask Allah ta'ala to make it easy for us. We can't leave a sin, ask Allah ta'ala that, Ya Allah, this sin is very hard for me to leave, but you can make it easy for me. Make it easy for me. How many of us actually actively talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of us try to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Something to ponder and think that how can we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible? And when it's possible, we should try and visit Aqsa as well. So haram, it's something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith. I know that our Yasin bhai wants to take a group from this masjid as well, right? In terms of going to Masjid al-Aqsa. But we should go, we should... And the people there, they say that we don't need your help. We need you to come here and support us in terms of give us that moral support that we are here, we are going through all the difficulties. But if you come and at least show us that the ummah is still alive, and the ummah is alive, we want to practice. People do come to the masjid. We have iman, there is hope. And if we look through history, this is not the first time that there has been oppression, and it won't be the last. So we need to make an intention that inshallah, when there is the possibility and the means, then we will go to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. And in terms of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, remembering our brothers and sisters in our dua, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them, assist them, accept those that have been martyred. Young children, the other day someone was saying that 7,000
individuals. This was yesterday, it'll be more now, but 7,000 or so individuals have been made shaheed. And out of that, so many percentage, quite a large percentage, was children. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise, completely wise. We have full yaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He is doing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a reason for all of this. And the reality is that, you know, COVID came, other things happen, people die, youngsters die. Yeah, people, this person 20 years old passed away, 22 years old passed away. We hear that, we know that, we see it. But the reality is that what we need to ask ourselves is that what change does it bring in mine and your life? I asked myself that, okay, I hear of a catastrophe in the world, an earthquake. There's an earthquake in Turkey, there's an earthquake in Afghanistan. These situations take place. But what change does it bring in mine and your life? Are we sleeping the same? Are we eating the same? Just today, we know that Mufti Shabbir Sahib came today for, and he mentioned to me, he said that, you know, Ratna Ungliawe, you can't sleep. We're talking about the situation in Palestine. He said to me that I can't. And then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our elders, they feel the pain. Why don't we and you feel the pain? Why we say and we shed a tear maybe here and there, but why is it that it doesn't bring anxiety in our life? We've heard about Azamana Yusuf Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And he used to say that he can hear the screams of the children of Gaza, of Palestine. Why is it that, you know, Jumu'ah, the individuals come to Salah, we come to Salah, we listen to a talk, it's a reminder for us. But there's little or no change in our life. Why? I ask myself, why? Like, what is it? Are we too comfortable? Somewhere to truly, truly ponder on, right? We see these images, and for the moment we think, Allahu Akbar, you know, this young child is having, you know, yesterday there was a video that a youngster, is having an operation on his leg, removing some shrapnel ghaliban, it seems as though from his leg, from his right leg, and he's reading Quran, 15th juz. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. No anesthetic. And the doctor is there removing the shrapnel. We see that. For the moment, we feel sorry for that individual. He has iman, he's a young child. He's 15, 14, however old he was. But why is it not a catalyst for us to change our life? That's what we need to ask ourselves. What's going to wake us up? When are we going to wake up? Because ultimately, the one who is in control is Allah. That's our iman. Now and forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who allows everything to happen. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. The one who believes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him to internalize that every difficulty, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the permission of Allah. So if we please Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help the ummah. But if we keep displeasing Him, how can we expect that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come? So, another thing that, you know, in terms of giving sadaqah, as-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab ar-rab, that sadaqah, it extinguishes the anger of Allah, of the Rabb, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially at this time, the aid, I know that there is some limitation in terms of the aid getting into Gaza at the moment. But if there is any means that we can find, any charities that are working now, then to give aid and spending our wealth with the intention of giving sadaqah to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine at this moment in time specifically. So it's, you know, we know all of these things, and this is a reminder for myself and for everyone that's listening, right? That being patient, enjoining patience, doing good deeds, and then in that same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worrying about how taqwa can come into our hearts, our lives, and how we can change our life for the betterment of ourselves and for the ummah. And if a person does that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may be successful. So you want success in this world and the hereafter, falah in this world and the hereafter. We need to change our life. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to also take the means. And like I said, protesting is there if they are within the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's within this framework, then we protest. And our akabirin, they mentioned the same thing at the moment, in the sense that protesting is important. To raise our voice, so at least we are heard. We are heard, right? Just now there was a political commentator on Twitter was mentioning that the narrative is changing. That the Palestinians are being seen as those that are being oppressed. And that's a big thing in itself. And one of the reasons is because of the fact that some of the Palestinians that are representing themselves are more eloquent, they can speak English, they're giving the other narrative. And this is something that's important. Like they say, there's always two sides to a story. So we need to also amplify this voice. We need to amplify this voice wherever we can. We need to amplify this voice within our workplaces with wisdom, with hikmah, bearing in mind the laws of the country and the general sentiments in the country. How we do that, we make sure that we do it in the correct manner. But it's possible to do. If we educate ourselves, if we read up and we educate ourselves, we can do that. So this is something also very, very important. And then, you know, there's a narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that وَتَجِئُ فِتْنَةٌ يُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. There's going to come a time where there'll be fitnas that will be coming one after the other, that the one that comes afterwards will make the previous one seem insignificant. وَتَجِئُ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ مُهْلَكَتِي. That one fitna will come and a believer will say that this is going to be my end now. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفُ الْغَوْ وَتَجِئُ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ. Another fitna will come. For the end of time, another fitna will come, and the mu'min will say, this is the one now. This is the one that's going to destroy me. And then, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ, whoever wants, and whoever prefers, and whoever has a longing, and يُزَحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ, that he's protected from the fire, وَيُدْخِلَ, and he's entered into Jannah, فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Then his death should come to him, whilst he is believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day. وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. The first thing is that in these times, obviously, we have hope that we're going to die with iman, right? We have hope that we want to die with iman. But a person who wants to be protected from the fire and wants to enter Jannah, then he should make an effort to preserve that iman. Because that's the iman that's going to take him into Jannah and save him from the fire of Jannah. So when his death comes, then he has the iman and he has the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So in terms of this is one important aspect that when a person... When these fitan come, then how are we going to hold on to our iman? And one of, if not the most effective way of holding on to our iman is a'mal. That the more a'mal we do, the more our iman will become stronger. So we need to make sure that we are doing a'mal. So everything that we mentioned above, I'm mentioning this as an emphasizer that it's not just our brothers and sisters in Palestine, the general condition, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming happy with us. It's a means of us preserving our iman. The good deeds that we do will preserve our iman and the iman of our progeny, because the more we practice, the more they will see us practice. The more they see us practice, they will want to practice. And their iman will be protected. So the more we are into business, the more they will be into business. The more we are into making a nice house, nice car, nice money, they will want the same thing. Because they will prioritize what we are prioritizing. Because the children do what they see, not what you tell them. So if we prioritize, our iman will be protected. And the other aspect, which is the narration of Muslim, that same narration, وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. And he should deal with the people like he wants to be dealt with. Subhanallah, like in that one statement, however you want to be treated, you want people to say, be honest to you, you be honest. You want people to be respectful, you be respectful. You want people to speak to you nicely, you speak nicely to people. You want people to help you and care for people yourself. So this will be a means of a person entering into Jannah and also being protected from the fire of Jahannam. So we need to understand that this iman that we have, and it connects to the first point, that the iman that we have, subhanallah, this iman is so powerful, is so valuable, that when a person truly has this iman, even in the times of fitan, He can be rest assured that inshallah when he dies, he will have the iman, and he will, if he's doing the amal to protect his iman and he's worried about his iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into Jannah and protect him from the fire of Jahannam. And finally, there's a narration in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentions that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول عند الكرب, that whenever there used to be any sadness, any difficulty, then رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would recite this dua, that لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم, لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم, لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. So whenever نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was in a moment of distress, in anxiety, in difficulty, in some form of sadness, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua. Inshallah, we'll write it on the board as well. It's not very hard to learn in that sense. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim, la ilaha illallah rabbul arshi al-azim, la ilaha illallah rabbul samawati wa rabbul ardi wa rabbul arshi al-kareem. That we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, who is the most magnificent, the most forbearing, the one who is the greatest. And then we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of Al-Arsh Al-Azim, the great throne, who is the Rabb of the heavens, the Rabb of the earth, and he is also the Rabb of the noble Arsh, the noble throne. So we know that this was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read. And whenever we see a video, whenever we see some news where there is the plight of the Muslims that we are seeing, right? And at the moment, there are many, many videos that are going around, right? Then we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may feel completely helpless, but we're not helpless. Alhamdulillah, we're not helpless. Dua is silah al-mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. It's the most powerful weapon that anybody can have. And it's the weapon of the believer, silah al-mu'min. So we have the opportunity to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ultimately, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Change is only going to happen when we change. So if we are just going to a march, or just writing a letter to the MP, or just protesting, or whatever it may be, the actual physical elements, just doing that, completely looking and ignoring the other aspect, then the reality is most likely there's not going to be hardly any or no change. But if we couple them together, and there's an emphasis on the pleasing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua, istighfar, dhikr, because these are all the teachings of the Quran and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the amal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, battle of Badr, the night before, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in dua. The Sahaba were prepared to a certain degree, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in dua in the tent, and he's making dua the whole night, to the extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu comments. Subhanallah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took asbab, but at the same time he understood who the musabbibul asbab was, who the controller of the asbab was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of asbab. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'aliman lil ummah, to educate us as the ummah. At this time he knew, because he foretold many of the fitan. He if you look at Kitabul Fitan, then you will see many ahadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned the things that were going to happen after his demise. And they fit perfectly to certain times that are, certain incidents that have happened after he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world. So we have this beautiful deen. We have this beautiful concept of the ummah. And I mentioned it on Friday as well, that this idea of nationalistic idea that we have, that this person is from this country, this person is from this country, this person is from this country, he's like this, right? We need to leave that. And we need to understand that we are united by the fabric of the ummah in terms of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This nationalism came afterwards. And whatever the reason, and there are reasons that are written, but whatever the reason is, we need to understand we have the concept of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us that we are like a building, right? We are like one body. And if the head is hurting, then the whole body hurts. So we need to inculcate this idea within our minds, that no matter where a person is from, or where he was born, or what color his skin is, we care about him. on the level of the human level, definitely, but also on the level that they share the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with us. And we make dua for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the plight of the Palestinians. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that He guides us, right? That guidance comes into our heart, embeds into our heart, and we make a change. We make a change which is going to be beneficial for the ummah, inshallah, and for ourselves. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا جل الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله. لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت. فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك. إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر المسلمين في فلسطين وفي غزة وفي كل مكان. اللهم انصر المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. يا حي يا قيوم اللهم انصرهم. اللهم انصر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, forgive our sins, forgive our major sins, our minor sins. Oh Allah, assist us to become better. Oh Allah, make this gathering, make this a means of our changing our lives, our changing of the lives of our family and all of those who have been listening. Ya Allah, make this a program, a means of us turning to you, beseeching you. Oh Allah, making pleasing you. Oh Allah, grant us your happiness. Grant us your closeness. Ya Allah, make us from those who make please you. Ya Allah, guide us to do those things that are beneficial. Ya Allah, guide us to do those things that are beneficial for us. Ya Allah, assist us in being obedient to you. Assist us in not sinning. Ya Allah, help us in staying away from sin. Ya Allah, help us in staying away from sin. Ya Allah, without your help, Ya Allah, we can do nothing. Ya Allah, there is no one that we can besiege besides you. Ya Allah, the ummah is suffering. Ya Allah, there are individuals in that are suffering, that are becoming martyred. Allah, help them. Ya Allah, help them. Assist them. Ya Allah, accept their shahada, their martyrdom. Ya Allah, grant them sabr. Ya Allah, grant them sabr. Make us a means of benefit for them. Ya Allah, remove the test and trial from them.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, guide the oppressors. Ya Allah, guide the oppressors. Ya Allah, guide the oppressors. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, guide the oppressors. Ya Allah, guidance is in your hands. Ya Allah, you can guide whoever you want. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, grant us aman and safety. Ya Allah, grant us safety within our homes. Ya Allah, grant the whole ummah safety. Ya Allah, help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have mercy on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the times of fitan. Ya Allah, save us from the times of fitan. Ya Allah, just living in these few days, Ya Allah, we see that how difficult it is going to be when Dajjal comes and when there will be different tests and tribulations. Ya Allah, save us from those times. Ya Allah, save us from those times. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect the iman of our progeny. Ya Allah, protect the iman of our progeny. Ya Allah, when we leave this world, Ya Allah, make us leave with the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Ya Allah, make it that we are happy to meet you. Ya Allah, make it that we are happy to meet you. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, when that time comes, Ya Allah, make it easy for us. Ya Allah, give us afiyah. Ya Allah, give us afiyah. Ya Allah, give us contentment. Ya Allah, give us afiyah. Ya Allah, we ask for afiyah. Ya Allah, we ask for afiyah. Ya Allah, we ask for afiyah on behalf of the whole ummah. Ya Allah, grant the whole ummah afiyah. Ya Allah, guide our leaders. Ya Allah, guide our leaders. Ya Allah, guide our leaders. Ya Allah, guide those leaders in places of power and position. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. You are the one in control. Ya Allah, increase our iman in these times of difficulty. Ya Allah, those individuals who are questioning their iman, Ya Allah, strengthen their iman. Ya Allah, strengthen their iman. Ya Allah, strengthen their iman. Ya Allah, help them, assist them. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold many of the fitan, Ya Allah, that have come and that have happened. Ya Allah, make this a means of us increasing our iman, increasing our connection with you. Ya Allah, those things that we have asked for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well. Ya Allah, those things that we have forgotten to ask for, that we should have asked for, that the individuals within the gathering and those that are listening wanted to ask for, Ya Allah, grant them whatever their permissible needs are. Ya Allah, in this gathering, in this time, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make it that you accept all of our dua. Ya Allah, make it that you accept all of our dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min al-khayri kullihi aajilihi wa aajilihi ma'alimna minhu wa ma'lam na'lam. Wa na'udhu bika min al-sharri kullihi aajilihi wa aajilihi ma'alimna minhu wa ma'lam na'lam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
I requested, inshallah, to at least take out 5 minutes every day. And I say this to myself and everybody, inshallah. Whenever we can, if we can at the time of tahajjud, if we can, maybe after work, maybe after one salah, after Isha, whenever it may be, that we make special dua for the whole ummah. And we make intention that this is something we're going to do from today. That we try and remember our brothers and sisters and our family and everybody in dua, our community, the wider community, the whole ummah, our non-Muslim friends as well who live within us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them as well. And inshallah, if we do that, inshallah, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And never think that it's only me. What if I do one change, what difference is it going to make if it's just me? Sometimes we get this khiyah, this sort of, you know, thought from shaitan and from our nafs as well, that if it's just me, one person, there's billions of people in the world, one. But change happens with ourselves. And if it's me and there's about however many here, if we all make this, then slowly it will increase. So we can't lose hope. And we can't procrastinate that tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and assist us. Inshallah, food will be served. Yasin Bhai is waiting at the back as well. So if we can just make our way to the classrooms, food will be served. Jazakallah.